Is it safe to start the countdown for back to school yet? Can we? No? No, okay, all right. All right, we're not there yet. All right, it's okay. It's all right. I'm just curious. I was just curious. Glad you're here today. This week offered its fair share of challenges and difficulties. But I'm glad you're with us today. I'm glad that everyone is willing to come and to offer worship to our Father in heaven, to put our hearts back where they need to be, back where we want them to be. And, sometimes what we're going through, that we know that song, that there is blood in the offering, that we come to God even in pain, even in struggles. But it shows Him that even when it's difficult and even when we're struggling, that when we continue to come into His presence, when we continue to lift Him up in song, that He sees us being faithful to Him. That He sees us and knows that, you know, sometimes He's trying to comfort us in that. And sometimes we're shut off to it. But drawing near to Him is exactly where we need to be in those challenges and in those difficulties. Because that is where His grace is found, and that's where His mercy is most powerful. So I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you're a part of us here, and I'm thankful for your faith. So today we'll take a look at His Word, and we will see how to strengthen that faith. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we praise Your name. You are worthy of glory. You are greater. You are greater than what we go through, Lord. And You gave us today, and Your blessings are new today. You've given us life, and we draw in breath, and we get to be close to You. We get to live our lives in Your eternal kingdom. We get to live our lives knowing that not only do You love us, but we get to live our lives in the light of Jesus Christ. We get to live our lives with the full credit of His righteous acts put on our account. Father, we praise Your name because there is no one else and nothing else that does and has done for us what You have. You are good. And Father, some days we confess to You that faith is hard. Some days we confess that we get wrapped up. We get wrapped up in other things. I pray, Lord, that as Your children, as Your people, that we will keep those things close to You. Father, I ask that You guide our hearts, that You guide our steps, that as we have been called to Koinonia fellowship and participation with You, that we will learn better every day how to do that, that we will keep our eyes open, that we'll be open to the leading of Your Spirit. Help us recognize where You're leading us. Help us recognize opportunities. Father, we thank You for hearing our prayer. And we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we are going through Acts and seeing how better to participate with the Spirit, sometimes it's easier than others, right? Sometimes it's just easier to participate with the others. I think about Acts chapter 8 last week, and I mean, we followed with Philip, and I got to tell you, I wish that the Holy Spirit made it that clear, because the second part of Acts chapter 8, Spirit says, hey, you need to go, and you need to go talk to that guy in the chariot. And he runs up to the chariot, and hey, guy's already reading his Bible. I got this. Now, those are the times that participating with the Spirit just feels easy, doesn't it? Wait, they've asked about Jesus, or they've asked, you know, where do you go to church, or they have shown an interest in how I live, and I can definitely see the Spirit just providing me an opportunity here. But sometimes the Spirit leads us in directions and places or with people that are not as easy as the Ethiopian eunuch. We're not always reaching out to people who were walking around with their Bible open going, boy, if just someone knew what I was reading here and could explain this to me. That's not every day, is it? No, a lot of days it's, well, I have no need for this, so what are you going to say about it? And yet it is in those days also, we need to be open to where the Spirit is leading us, and we need to be trusting that the Spirit will provide us exactly what we need to share for that person. And so we come to Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, we're going to see that participation with the Spirit sometimes is more compulsory. We may not always be in the mood. We may not always feel equipped. We may just be tired or just have something else that's important to us that we've got going on. And sometimes God says, but I need to be here. I need to be here. And you're close. So I've got something for you to do. At church again. When it's easy, when it's fun, enjoy it. When it's not so easy, it might not be fun, get ready for it. Because the same work needs to be done. Today we get two stories from Acts chapter 9 where the Lord says, you are going to participate today. You are going to participate today. Let's start in verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. All right, so Saul of Tarsus, we saw him a few chapters ago. We got just a glimpse when Stephen was being killed for following Jesus. You'll remember we get the first little mention of Saul. Saul was there with all of their coats, and he was just giving his seal of approval of what we're doing. And now, after we see the Spirit moving the gospel into different places, and it's spreading exactly like Jesus said it would, now we get him, we pick Saul back up in chapter 9, and what do we find Saul doing? Breathing threats and murder against Jesus' followers. He is an enemy. He's an enemy. He is in direct opposition to Jesus Christ. So Jesus has sent His Spirit, and He has sent His followers and His disciples, and they are doing His work, and it is going all along. And then here's this guy. And this guy is living his life, and he is fulfilling his so-called purpose in direct opposition to what Jesus is doing. Now, first and foremost, church, because there's so many things, we won't even talk about all of them today. But first and foremost, just imagine God seeing at the moment His greatest enemy. And God, in His wonderful mercy, wants to reach Saul. Wants to reach Saul. Not like you and I want to reach out and touch someone. That's all right. That's how we feel with our enemies. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to reach out and touch you. I'd like to get rid of you. I'd like to get you. You are in my way. You're in my path. I want, you know what? I won't do it. I'm better than that. I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus, need some fire down here. I'm praying for that destruction because someone's in my path. I'm trying to do your will, and here's this person. So, little smiting, that would be welcome today. Well, that's not what Jesus does, is it? This man is in direct opposition. He is breathing threats and murder. He is trying to round up men and women. He doesn't care. You're a follower of Jesus. You're my target. I'm coming for you. You're out there trying to walk in His light and be an ambassador and do good and share the message of Jesus. Well, guess what? I am standing right in your way, and I'm coming for you. And Jesus encounters Saul. He appears to Saul, knocks him down, not with a slap, but just the radiance of His presence. And He speaks to him. He speaks to him. He calls him by name. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this with your life? You got so much going for you. You've got so much potential. God has blessed you with so many gifts. And you're just using them in the wrong direction. Now, church, if you and I walk out of here today and we get just one thing in our hearts, that those who stand in opposition to us are created and loved by our Father in heaven. And they are misguided. They are going against the flow. They're in our way. And Jesus does not want them to be destroyed. Jesus wants them to be turned and absorbed and using their gifts for His kingdom also. That's what we're talking about here. Now, for you and I to trust this, we've got to understand that Jesus wants to reach them too. Jesus wants to reach them too. Go ahead, picture your trouble. Picture your trouble. It won't take long. They're there. Picture your biggest headache. Picture your biggest pain. Picture your biggest problem. They're going against you. You're just trying to live your life. You're trying to be faithful. You know, if you happen to see someone reading their Bible in their car, man, you'll pull up next to them and you'll tell them about Jesus. You're all for it. But I want you to picture that person that's coming in direct opposition to you doing what you need to be doing for God's kingdom. And Jesus wants them too. Jesus wants them too. And if they are your enemy, guess what? You're the one Jesus is going to use to reach them. Jesus isn't going to use me to reach your enemies. He's not going to use you to reach my enemies. He's going to use you to reach those enemies. Because they're going against the flow. They're headed to death. And God wants them to go to life. And so Jesus stops Saul right in his tracks. He knocks him down with the glory of his presence. And I love this. And church, we need to remember this. Jesus interrupts the evil plans of Saul because they are done in ignorance. They're done in ignorance. I mean, this guy is breathing threats and murder against the followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, Saul, why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, well, who are you? He doesn't know. He is literally trying to destroy the followers of the one he does not know yet. And he asks him, well, who are you? He says, who are you, Lord? So at least he respects the power. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Rise, that city you're headed towards. We're going to go ahead and go on in there, and you'll be told what you are to do. I love that. I love that in church. This is a growing movement. A group of believers who believe that Jesus is not only leading us in our steps, but that he can lead the lost in their steps. We got to trust that. We got to know it. We got to know it. Yes, Jesus can use Saul. Jesus can use Saul. Because you and I, it's so tempting. Well, nope, they're an enemy. God can't do any good there. Are you kidding? What's he going to do with that life? Things that I can't do. When Jesus encounters someone that lives outside of your influence, don't you think if that person turns around and starts walking with Jesus, that Jesus can use them to reach people that you can't? The answer is yes. Yes. This is, I need to get on board with where God is leading and let him lead. Let him lead. Let him lead me, and let him lead others. The Lord's will be done. And that's the beautiful thing about koinonia, about participating with the Spirit of God. God's will be done. It will. It will today, or it will on that day. It will be done. It may be tomorrow. I don't know. But his will be done. It's what Jesus said to pray for, right? Yeah, your will. Well, where should it be done? Well, number one, it should be done right here. And it should be done here. And it should be done there. And it should be done there. And it should be done some over here. His will be done. We got to get out of the way and get on board. Because church, sometimes, and this is the hard part, you and I as, you know, really good believers, well-intentioned, murder-thinking people, think we're doing the right thing. And we're standing in opposition of what Jesus is actually trying to accomplish. Can't be a Saul. I mean, we can be a Paul, you know, that's down the road. But the Lord wants Saul to serve. So he's going to serve. Picking it up in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. I don't know about you, but I would love to wake up in the morning and have Jesus show up and say, Michael, yes, Lord, I need you to go to this address, You're going to find this guy, he's going to be doing this, and you're going to go help him today. Yes, Lord. It's not what Ananias does, is it? Unfortunately not. Boy, sometimes you and I are just sitting there, right? Well, if the Lord just, you know, hands it out in red letters where I can't deny it, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. Make it clear. Show me. Tell me. Huh? What? What? He does this for Ananias. How many times in the Bible have we seen, how many times in the Bible have we seen God show up directly and people argue? Find excuses anyway. And God tells us how he's going to communicate. He tells us exactly what we need to be looking for. He tells us what we've been filled with so that we can even possibly walk in the steps of Jesus. And people argue when it's right there in front of their noses. So I know this is difficult for us to trust the Spirit to guide our steps. It's so easy to ignore. It's easy to quench the Spirit. It's easy to put it down. No, that's not the Spirit. That was indigestion, I'm pretty sure. It is so easy for you and I to quench the Spirit because the people that are face to face with Jesus come up with excuses. They come up with reasons why it can't be done, why they can't accomplish God's will. And so you and I are expected to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be filled by the Holy Spirit. But oh, I can think of so many other things that fill me, that fill you, so that I don't hear or see or understand. Which is why when we take a look at Romans chapter 8 that Chris read for us this morning. And I know I'm sure there were some of you that, oh, Romans chapter 8 again? Seriously? Is this a do-over? We know Romans chapter 8. I don't think we do. I don't think we do. Or at least we need to hear it again. Ananias, there's a guy. He's at this address. He knows you are coming. Go. Verse 13. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Surely, Lord, you wouldn't send me to... We don't really need to go and talk to... All right. Like I said, Acts chapter 9. These are two stories of you're going to learn today. God's going to get his will done. Church, do you want to be Saul? Do you want to be smacked to the ground and lose something important to you until you get with the program? Or do you want to be Ananias? Oh, I don't know, Lord. They sound mean. They've hurt my feelings. They've treated me poorly. I don't think they deserve the gospel. I don't think they'd listen anyway, because have you been watching their life? They're not very nice. Are you sure that's who you want me to go talk to? God's going to get his way. And his way is, he wants Saul to turn around and put those gifts into his kingdom. And he wants Ananias to be a part of that and help guide Saul during what has been a very difficult day. We got to get on board. We got to get on board. We got to pay attention. But the Lord said to him, I'm in verse 15. The Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed, entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Now, this is very interesting, but for both of these stories, for Saul, Saul is going on his way, you know, to kill. Jesus shows up and he is forcefully, he's forcefully put on a knee, right? And Jesus tells him, get up. I didn't think that through. I thought, oh, great illustration, but I didn't think about that one very well. Ananias, what does Jesus have to tell him? Because Ananias, more than likely, he's just in bed. And what's the first thing Jesus tells him? Rise! You got work to do. Now, church, I'll do it again because the point's kind of important. Unfortunately, a bunch of us are living our lives. Oh, Jesus is King. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I am here to worship, I'm here to pray, I'm here to sing. Lord, oh, I recognize that you are King. Praise be to you, you are it, you are it. And you and I, as much as it hurts our knees, want to stay in this position, and we think that this is somehow following in the footsteps of Jesus, and it's not. Because to every single one of us, what is he saying? Get up. Terry, give me a hand. This chair may get it. Help me out, brother. Thank you. Small price to pay. You see what I'm saying? We get stuck there. Oh, I recognize Jesus. Jesus is Lord. I will not follow another. We sang it this morning. I would not dare serve any other Lord. You just tell me, Lord, I'm all ears. In fact, I'll just get here in a nice little position. I'll wait. Get up. Get up. Go. Get up. Go. Church, do we still have the same purpose as the church described in Acts? Do we still have the same responsibility to share the good news with the lost? Are there still lost around us? Are there still those who are working against God's eternal kingdom, kicking against the goads and fighting for what is their God-given purpose? Do you have people in your life that just don't know? They haven't had the scales removed from their eyes to see Jesus clearly and where they should be putting their energy and efforts? Yeah. And who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? Because some of us may have been Sauls, right? We just lived our life in opposition to God until he showed up and said, not anymore. And we said, okay. And some of us may be Ananiases. We're faithful. We listen for the Lord. And when he shows up, we start to question him. Lord, is that really the best idea? Is that really your plan? Hey, I need you to get up and I need you to go. This is what you're going to do. It's all planned out. Yeah, but Lord, if you knew all the facts of this situation, I think you would reconsider what you would call me to do. Because I just don't know that that's... I just don't know that that's time well spent. I don't know that that's where I should be putting my energy and my gifts on them. Like I said, sometimes the Spirit moves us in places and ways that we're not ready to go. And we need to hear the voice of our Lord say, get up, let's go. Let's go. And I'll tell you, church, because, I mean, I won't make you raise your hand. You ever been in a place where it was very clear that the Lord sent you to someone or to do something that you were not really too excited about doing? You ever been in that spot? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, at least. As uncomfortable as that situation may be, you know what's less comfortable? When you've told him no so many times, he no longer calls. When he looks at you and your life and the Lord knows you better than he knows that evil person he's trying to meet. And he looks at you and says, they're just not going to do it. So I won't call. We're so busy telling God how to do his job, and we've forgotten our job. We're so busy telling him what he's going to do, what he can do, what he will do, what he won't do, what he can't do, that we've forgotten what our job is. You hear his voice? Yes, Lord, I am here. Fully recognize. I hear you. And get up and go. But Lord, how many times do you think we're going to shrink back before he goes, let's see, I need someone to do something important. I think some of us may be in that situation. He's knocked a few times and we've went, nobody's home. Not interested. Can't do that. Surely not. That call's not for me. Just turn the radio up. The person you were trying to reach is not available at this time. We know that one well, right? How many times is God going to call and say, hey, get up, I got something for you to do? How many times are we just not going to show up? We need to be on our faces. Lord, we're here. We're here. We may need to recommit. We may need to recommit and say, you know what? I want to be a part of what you've got going on in your kingdom. I want to participate with you in your Holy Spirit. I want that. You've promised it. I haven't seen it in a while. And my dark heart, just like Saul's, the conclusion I come to, just like Ananias, oh, there must be some mistake on your end. We're no different. We're no different. In Romans chapter 8, Chris read for us, we live. Let me get over there. Romans chapter 8. Let me find this. Those who live according to the Spirit. Sorry, I'm in verse 5. Romans 8, 5. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. I'm forgiven. I'm Spirit filled. Great. You better have your mind in line with what the Spirit of Jesus is doing. And what is the Spirit of Jesus trying to do? He wants me to be more like Jesus. And he wants more people to be saved by Jesus. That part hadn't changed. But if I'm going to walk by the Spirit, if I'm going to be filled by the Spirit, then I better have my mind set on the things of the Spirit. And he says, if you set your mind on the flesh, that's death. That goes nowhere. It doesn't end well. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. But it's scary. I'm Ananias over here. It's scary to talk to them. It's what might happen. What might they say? What might I lose? What might I have to risk to follow the Spirit? What do you have to lose? Death. What do you gain? Life and peace. What's the problem, right? What's the problem? The mind that is set on the flesh is... anybody with me? In verse 7? What is the mind set on the flesh? What's its stance? What?
Hostile.
Hostile. Yeah. Let's read it. Hostile to God. Thank you. All right, this is not a two-year-old throwing a fit. The mind that is set on the flesh is, oh, you up there? No thanks. No. You got this going this direction, I'm going to go this direction. That's the mind set on the flesh. But the mind set on the spirit, there's an action word in there. What does it do? What does the mind set on the spirit do? It's got to do something. It's got to do something. What's it do? I lose you? Oh, sorry. Mine was circled. Yours may not be circled. Still in verse 7. The mindset on the flesh does not submit to God. Doesn't submit. Remember that painful stance? Here I am, Lord. I recognize you. I know you're in charge of this show. I just want to be used. I just want to be a part of what you got going on. But if we don't submit, we're still hostile to God. We're not allowing Him to control our life. We're not living. We're not at peace. You ever had that feeling in your heart when you know you should have done or said something and you didn't? How long did that last? You carried that, right? Yeah, we know that feeling. I know that feeling. I've been there. No. Oh, I really should have. That's not peace. You know what's peace? Oh, Lord, I should say something to them? You got it. Hey, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you something. Yeah, what do you need to tell me? Well, you see, Spirit of the Lord has led me to you. And you need to know something. What kind of craziness is that? Well, it's the same craziness that saved me from my sin. Because I was where you were. Minds that are set on the Spirit. And he gets into it, the whole, I'll let you read 9 through 11. Here's a quick one. Minds that are set on the Spirit recognize the Spirit. Minds that are set on the Spirit, they trust and submit to the Spirit of Christ. And minds that are set on the Spirit, they follow Christ. That's what it means to participate. That's what it means to participate. God is saying, hey, I'm still working. There are still things to be done. There are still people to reach. And I'm trying to make you a part of it. Let's participate in this together. We got to be in the right mindset. We got to recognize. We have to walk according to the Spirit. We have to know that the Spirit dwells in you. We have to know that if we have the Spirit, we belong to Christ. And we have to know that it is the Spirit that gives life. Without the Spirit, we're dead. We're dead. We should start to recognize. We should start to recognize. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. I just want to hit you with a couple quick things. Philippians chapter 2. I'll tell you, I might someday put something on the screen, but you can find this later. So if you're a Googler, okay, yeah, it is worth a Google. So this afternoon, you can Google Philippians 2, 10 and 11, all right? Google it. The meme game for this scripture is strong. And I got a kick out of it. But I just want to read the words. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How is God glorified? When everybody hears and believes and responds and says, Jesus is Lord. God's looking for this to happen. God is looking for this to happen, and he is called to participate in this actively happening in the world around us. What does God want? God wants everyone to recognize life is in Jesus. What's apart from Jesus? Death! God created us. He made us. He loves us. All of us. And He wants everybody to get there. And church, you and I have a part in helping them get there. Because every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. But unfortunately, you and I can be faithful confessors and kneelers and be just as good as Ananias. Lord, are you sure that's a good idea? Hey, let's go. I got work for you today. Yeah, but really, is that the best use of our time? I've heard some difficult things. Acts chapter 9 is all about our active participation with the Spirit of Christ. Get up and go. Get up and go. Get up and go. Romans chapter 14, last one for the day. Romans chapter 14. Anyway, if you Google Philippians 2, 10, and 11, the meme is a Batman-themed meme, but I really enjoyed it. Made me laugh. Made me chuckle. And I like to chuckle. Romans 14, go down to verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Our stance, church, to the lost is not judging them. It is understanding that they are in a place where they are going to stand before Jesus just like we are. You know what the only difference is? They're not washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'm going to stand before Jesus. Is he going to look at me and say, oh, Michael, you were the best one down there? No, he is not. He's going to say, hey, good job. Now, is he going to just unroll my list of missed opportunities? I really hope not. We'll be there a while. But I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are covered. But my lost neighbor, my lost family member, my lost friend is going to stand right next to me in the presence of Jesus. And as of now, if they're not covered in the blood of Jesus, it's not going to go so well for them. We will all stand before our Lord. We will all bow the knee. We will all confess that he is Lord. But you and I are going to do so from a place of forgiveness, of redemption. We're already saved. We are already saved. Our sins have been forgiven. He remembers them no more. But there's some people around us that are not in the same situation that we are in. And church, to participate with the Spirit of Christ means you and I ought to care some about that. And pay attention to where Jesus wants us to go and take his presence to the lost. So we can keep on fighting against the flow until maybe Jesus has to knock us down a step or two, take something away that we really relied upon so that we would learn to submit to him. Or maybe you and I just need to not argue when he says, hey, this is what we're going to do today. Lord, are you sure that's the best idea? I said, this is what we're going to do today. Because there may come a time where we just go, huh, I really haven't heard the Spirit directing my steps in a while. I'll just let you in on, this is just me being a Christian for a year or two, something that I've learned. If you ignore the Lord long enough, If you don't answer when he knocks enough times, he might move on. He might move on. Something I've learned. If I pass up enough opportunities, guess what? You ever noticed how he puts someone else in that opportunity? Why? Because his will be done. It will be done. Am I going to get on board and be a part of it or not? That's the question. That's it. That's it. All right. So, all of you wonderful, beautiful, baptized, saved believers. Thank you, Kevin. That's right. You already know the stance. We're here. We worship the stance. Yeah, it's probably time that we pay attention, that we get up and follow. If you're not a Christian, if you're going to stand beside me in front of Jesus, and you're not sure, and you don't know, and you're not covered by the blood that he sacrificed for you on the cross, then it's time. You need to get up for a different reason. But for the rest of us, we're going to get up soon, and we're going to go. We're going to go. We better pay attention. We better pay attention. Because he is trying to get us to participate in what he has got going on. His will be done. Are we going to be a part of it? He wants us to. That's why he put his spirit here, to guide our steps in accomplishing that. All right? So, if you need to become a Christian, if you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then today's your day. And again, if you are baptized and you are forgiven, fantastic. Today's your day. We just need to get up. We need to listen. And we need to follow when he calls. Okay? We love that song, Lord, Be There For Me When I Call. I wonder how many times he hears that and goes, nice words, right? I wonder how many times he's like, hey, Michael, be there for me when I call.